I do invite you to have that passage in Philippians 4 open before you as we consider God's word together. Let us pray and ask for God's help to truly understand his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we are poor in spirit. We confess, Lord, that there is still so much that is sinful and disordered in our lives. But we thank you that your mercy is new every morning. But Lord, we confess that we struggle to even understand your word correctly by ourselves. And so we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit this morning. May he help me to speak and us all to hear. And we pray, Lord, for a true knowledge of you. And that we would be filled with good works for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our passage this morning asks us an all-important question. Do you know how to be truly content? Have you learned the secret to being really content? Content in your heart, no matter what's happening around you or in your life. In our passage, Paul says he has learned how to be content. Something he had to learn even as an apostle, as a great man of God. So there's hope for all of us. But it's something we can learn. To be content, it really means to be happy, to be at peace, satisfied, fulfilled. Let me try to give you my definition. Contentment is your heart at rest. A heart at peace with who you are, at peace with what you have and don't have, and at peace with where you are going. Those three things, who you are, what you have or don't have, and where you're going, that's contentment. Now, Paul is telling us that he's got that kind of peace. Now, I've come to believe, after a few years being a pastor, that this inability to be content is one of the biggest and most widespread spiritual problems of our time. And for many of us, our daily unhappiness, our struggles, actually what's really going on is we don't know how to be content. And this is true just as much for Christians as for non-Christians. Can I suggest that maybe what might be really wrong in your life, what you might be feeling, is that you don't really know how to be content. Even if you don't realize it, this could be what's wrong. So you might say, well, how do I know? How do I tell? Well, let me put it this way. Do you ever have a bad case of the Goldilocks grumbles or restless leg syndrome? You ever realize that Goldilocks, the children's story, is all about teaching children how to be content? Did you know? The food was too hot. The food was too cold. The bed was too big. The bed was too short. Do you ever catch yourself grumbling like that? See, there's an inner Goldilocks in all of us. And you can start to recognize her voice because it normally starts by saying, if only. If only I had a little more of this and a little less of that, then I'd be happy. In my circumstances, in my home, my job, my money, just a little more of this and a little less of that. If you're thinking like that, actually what's your real problem is you don't have what the Bible calls contentment. What Paul's speaking about. Oh, there's this other warning sign, restless leg syndrome. Maybe you might suffer from this. You know that thing where sometimes when you sit down and your legs ache and so they've just got to keep moving. They've got to keep tapping or you've got to keep twirling them or something. Well, I mean, is your heart like that? Do you ever find that you're just restless and dissatisfied and for no reason? And even at a moment in your life when you should be enjoying something and really great blessings, Christmas or children, or your mind's wandering. It's somewhere else and you're thinking about the next thing, or you're worrying about how it's all going to go wrong. When's the shoe going to drop? Or you're always searching for the next thing to make you happy, something new. A new relationship, a new job, a new identity, a new gadget. And there's this restlessness. Isn't that 21st century life? Well, what we're talking about is what Paul's talking about. And you don't know how to be content. Think about what Paul says in this scripture. Think about the kind of contentment he enjoyed. Because remarkably, Paul wrote these words from in prison, when it looked like he was going to be executed. And so at this point in his life, he has lost everything that the world values. His freedom, his reputation, his health, his status, comforts, they're all gone. And yet he says he is truly content. That's why he's writing to this church who've been generously sending aid to comfort him. And he says, you know, I'm thanking you for it, but you know, I am content. Whether he's abounding or abased, whether he's hungry or full, whether everything's going his way or everything's going against him, whether he's rich and comfortable and healthy, or whether he's sick, penniless and in prison. Now the word for content that Paul actually uses in the Greek, it means very literally satisfied from within. Satisfied and content from something you have within, not because of something you have outside or around you. So he's saying my contentment does not depend on my circumstances. It doesn't depend on my circumstances. Let me tell you about the man who literally wrote the book on Christian contentment. His name was Jeremiah Burroughs. And in 1628, he was called to be the minister of, wait for it, Bury St. Edmunds Presbyterian Church. Sadly, it didn't go very well. He complained the people had a strange disposition towards him. And after 3 years, they cut his salary in half, which was a rather blunt way of saying it was time for him to move on. Don't get any ideas. And it got worse, because you know that was a time when the church was persecuted. And in 1636, he had to flee the ministry and escape to Holland in exile. So he's a man, he did not enjoy the good life as people think of. These circumstances were terrible. But he wrote a powerful book, you can get it today, it's a must read, called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. And he was known for his cheerfulness, for being a content man. Now this was his definition, as he drew it out of this scripture. He said, Christian contentment is the sweet, inward, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. He says it's that you feel sweet and gracious, and you even delight, you're happy, in every condition. No matter what your circumstances. Have you got that kind of contentment? Have you learned that yet? The kind that you see in Paul? So what's the secret? What had Paul learned? What was he depending on then for his contentment? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's he saying? He's saying, this is the secret to being content. I depend on Jesus Christ, not my circumstances. When he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he doesn't mean I can literally do anything. He's not saying whatever I want, whatever I desire, Christ is going to help me accomplish it. Because sadly, that's so often today how that verse is misused. No, he's saying, I am content through Christ who strengthens me. He's saying, I can be holy and I can be happy no matter the circumstances. That's the all things, holiness and happiness. Depending on Christ, I can do what's right with real happiness in my heart, no matter how difficult my circumstances, because I'm relying on him constantly. Life goes up and down, he does not. And clinging to him, depending on him, I found this strength that brings me this joy. If I can go back to my definition, the who, the what, and the where. Christ brings true contentment because he brings peace with who you are. When you give your life to Christ, he makes you a new creation. You are forgiven everything that is past. You're given a new identity as a beloved child of God. Look at all the things in the news today. People, all this identity stuff. What is that really? It's people who cannot be at peace with themselves. Here's the way. This glorious new identity as a child of God in Christ. He brings peace with what you have and don't have. Because he promises to give you everything you need, and he gives you the best thing of all, himself. That's Emmanuel, God with us, he himself. Listen to what Hebrews 13 says about being content. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's your peace, no matter your circumstances. Christ is right by your side. Paul's prison cell was like heaven on earth because he knew the King of Kings was with him. And peace about where you're going. Forget the small things about how's my career going to work out? Where am I going to end up living? Or maybe one day retiring? Here's what Christ gives you. You're going to glory. You're going to the kingdom of heaven where there will be everlasting joy and peace. So what Paul's saying is, look, the real source of contentment is the gift of the gospel. Really grasping and living every day by who Christ is and what Christ gives me. All that he's done for us. The way to learn to be content is to go more deeply into the gospel and let it just be your life every day. There's the Christmas kind of contentment. Picture maybe Grandpa asleep in the armchair tomorrow afternoon. Full belly. His house full of family. Mantelpiece full of cards. A house full of nice presents. All those things can just disappear. Like Christmas itself, it's just gone in an instant. But the Christian contentment does not depend on any created thing because it's relying on Christ every day. That's the secret. You don't rely on your circumstances. Like leaves that fall off the trees in winter, you're clinging to them, they'll leave you exposed. Christ is an evergreen tree, always fruitful, always sheltering you. But learning this lesson, that's the hard thing, isn't it? That's the hard thing. Paul has learned this through many trials and all his great missionary career. So let me offer you three practical steps to help learn contentment. To learn how to depend on Christ every day. Three things. One aimed at your head, one at your heart, and one at your hands. And so first, Christian contentment for your head. Understand that God, your loving Father, is in control. Or to put it another way, submit to what God gives you or doesn't give you. The Bible teaches us that the Lord is sovereign. He actively rules over and orders everything. He determines what we will be given or not given in life. When and where we are born. What talents or gifts that you have. What opportunities will come your way or not. It's all in his hands. And he gives us all these different graces, different gifts in different portions and amounts. And it's like the parable of the talents. Because he wants to see what we're going to do with them. And will we be faithful with what we've got? That's what matters. Whether it's 10 talents or one. Will we use and abuse what he gives us? Or glorify him with them? But understand, God is in control of all your circumstances. Even down to the hairs of your head. He ordains the circumstances you find yourself in. But more than this, he is a kind and generous father. He gives good gifts. He promises to give you everything that you need if you walk with him, obey him, and listen to his voice. And so everything he sends is ultimately for your everlasting good, according to his perfect wisdom. You see, we're just looking about the here and now. That's why we often don't understand our circumstances. The Lord sees the whole plan from beginning to end, and his goal is to get you to glory. And so your circumstances will be ordained to get you to that great end, believer. So he does send trials, tests, challenges, losses, crosses, suffering, in order to perfect us and save us. And he might take something good away in order to give you the better thing, spiritual riches. He'll take away things of the world in your circumstances so that you will seek heaven. A good father does not give his growing child everything they want. It ruined them. But if you understand that your loving heavenly father is in control of your circumstances, then you will learn to trust God and submit to what he gives or doesn't give. That's a very hard cross to bear. Perhaps there's been something you may have been praying and asking for a long time. But the Lord says, no. Though you can't see it, I've got something better. Or no, because actually it would not be good for you in the end. And it doesn't mean we sit passively back. The gifts he's given, we are to use to the utmost as best we can. But we submit and we trust to what he gives or doesn't give. That's what the Lord teaches us in Matthew 6. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So he's saying to be content, two things. Understand, God is in control over your career, your next posting if you're in the military, the ups and downs of life, the weather. But also, he says, therefore, have the right goal. Seek first the kingdom of God. Have you realized that so much of your discontent is because you've got the wrong goals? You're aiming at the wrong things. You want to achieve the wrong things in life, whether that's success in your career or being rich, or for most people, it's just avoiding suffering and pain. Those are the wrong goals. The right, and they just lead to anger or anxiety or arguing. The way to have contentment is the right goal. Make God your goal. To know him and to do his will and to keep his commandments. So whatever the circumstances, they're all for this greater good. Think of Job. When he lost everything, what does he say? He says, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Think of our Lord Jesus. What was ordained for him? Poverty. Persecution and a cross. But our Lord submitted, not my will, but yours be will. Again, we think contentment will come when we get all our own way and what we want. And the Lord's teaching us that actually the real way to godly contentment is to give all of that up and ask, Father, what's your will? And so we have to first understand in our heads, we've got to learn to submit to his fatherly wisdom. So don't strive, but submit. But then, secondly, for your heart, Christian contentment for your heart, you are complete in Christ. You are complete in him. So delight in Christ. Depend on Christ. Paul speaks about abounding and being poor, being prosperous and having nothing. Now the truth is that both conditions can be very dangerous. Both conditions can come with temptations to make you miserable. Even if you got everything you wanted, you wouldn't be content. You know, if home, family life, your daily schedule, if it all was exactly as you planned, you would not be content. In fact, those kinds of things bring the temptation to boast and to forget others, to be proud, or to think you don't need God. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? How many rich people do you know who are happier? But then being short brings lots of dangers too. Because then there's the temptation to self-pity, to complain, or to be joyless, or to hoard and miser what you've got, or to be jealous of others. Now the cure in both situations is to delight in Christ, to depend in Christ. Rejoice, says Paul, rejoice in all that you have in Christ. Because in him you've got everything. The Lord Jesus is the glorious Son of God. He is the love of God poured out upon us. Boundary bursting love. Christ promises to live in you. He is joined to you as a Christian. Paul can do all things because this greatest treasure is in his heart and it can never be taken away. So how do you do this? How do you grow in this delight? You need to practice thankfulness. Be amazed at the sheer grace of God. Did you notice when Paul spoke about praying with everything you want from God, he says, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. It is spectacular that the living God should die for you. It's unbelievable that he should become a man in order to save you from your own guilt. So often we go to God with our requests and we're not really praying. We're just expressing our anxieties and our needs. Real prayer is just wrapped in thanksgiving because we understand what we've got in Christ. But Paul also says here that he's depending on Christ. What I mean is that if you are a Christian, you are both the richest and the poorest person in the whole world at the same time. You're the richest because you've got everything that is Christ's. But you're also the poorest because it's all his. Imagine a little child who's got a billionaire relative. And the billionaire says to them, if you need anything, you just come ask me. But when you get older, I'll share everything with you. So the child doesn't possess anything themselves, but in another sense, they possess everything. Would that child be jealous if they needed something? Would that child boast if it did have anything? Is that so it is with a Christian? Whatever you truly need, you go to Christ and he will abundantly supply. And then in heaven, you will enter into that glorious inheritance forever. And in Christ you have everything, in yourself you have nothing. And so every day we are living on his credit, so to speak. And so the way to be content, again, is not to go out to grab everything, but to be content that it's all in Christ's hands. And he'll dispense it to you. So rejoice in Christ and in everything you have in his keeping. But then third, Christian contentment for your hands. Give away as much as you can generously. Pour it out. Open up the door, start throwing out as much as you can to others. A Christian gets content, not by getting, but by giving. Complete opposite of how we think it's going to work. You think that you need to go out and get something and add something to your life to get contentment? Get rid of as much as you can to others. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The Lord gives joy and peace and abundant resources to those who keep giving it all away. Very likely, brother or sister, the discontent in your heart is because you are not giving away as much as you can. You're trying to hold on to what you've got. And actually, that's the world that's got you in the grip of its tentacles. God gives contentment to those who give generously. Their money, their time, who give up their own ambitions for the good of others. Let me put it as bluntly as this. To those of you who have much, who've been given greater resources, have you realized that some of your brothers and sisters, your flesh and blood, your fellow Christians, they are struggling to make ends meet, they are worried and troubled because you are not giving to them to help them? Have you not realized yet that God is going to provide for his children through you? That's why he's blessed you. That's how he's going to give to his poor children. If God blesses you with prosperity, it is only to give to those who are less well off. And so then there is a manifestation of his generous, self-giving, sacrificial love to the world, gospel love. Have you forgotten what it says in Acts? How the early church was happy to sell off and share whatever they had because some of them were in lack and they were all of one heart and one mind. And don't you think they were so much happier than us? Aren't we so miserly? Really? The persecuted church around the world needs your abundance. There are those closer to home that need you to give generously. So are you managing your finances well so that you can give and give generously? Give and give as much as you can. And because as you're doing so, you're actually storing up treasure in heaven. Remember the words of the Lord. Give to everyone who asks of you, and he who takes your goods, do not ask for them back. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your heart. Contentment. For with the same measure that you use, it shall be measured back to you. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Wherever you are in Christ's school for learning contentment, the key is these three things. To learn to depend on Christ and not your circumstances. Submit to what your Heavenly Father gives or doesn't give. Daily just delight and depend on the riches of Christ. And be a giver, not a grabber. Give away what you can. One final thought. Perhaps your discontent is because you're worried about the future. You've got very real fears and worries about what's going to happen. Perhaps your worry is, where are my resources going to come from? How am I going to pay the bills? Maybe you know that there is a future trial coming in your future. And you just wonder, how am I going to get through this? I feel so overwhelmed and insufficient. My resources, inner and outer, are not enough for what lies ahead. Remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now in there is a very important bit of wisdom. You take one day at a time. You trust him for the future by relying on him today. As your days will be, so will your strength be. You can rely on him for what will come one day at a time. He will give the grace you need when you need it. And I say that because Paul does not say Christ has strengthened him. As if Christ filled him up with power and then left him to it. He says Christ strengthens him continually, daily. He looks to Christ moment by moment and the strength comes. One step at a time as he needed it. The future is in his hands. What if the worst happens? What if I lose everything or everyone? He will supply all your needs when that day comes. He is able and he is sufficient. He will strengthen you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Corrie ten Boom is well known for her suffering in Nazi Germany. In her book, The Hiding Place, she tells a story from her childhood. She'd gone to visit the home of some friends where someone had died. And so for the first time, she's brought face to face with death. When she got to bed that night, she was quite terrified at the thought that her father could die. That night, as my father stepped through the door, I burst into tears. "But I need you," I sobbed. "You can't die." Father sat down on the edge of the bed. "Corrie," he began gently, "when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket?" I sniffed a few times and said, "Why, just before we get on the train." "Exactly. And our wise Father in heaven knows when we're going to need things too. Don't run out ahead of him, Corrie. When the time comes that even some of us have to die, you will look into your heart and find the strength that you need just in time." Whatever needs come, in life or in death, you can rely on Jesus Christ to see you through. When you need it, he will be there. That's how to be truly content.